Let's turn with him this morning to Psalm 51. It's just a pretext text there I'm using for my sermon this morning, Psalm 51. And if I may read verse 5. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, David speaking. David, the man after God's own heart. And he's speaking to us. I hope this is a heart-searching verse for each one of us as we come to this gospel occasion. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. My subject this morning is, why a Savior? Why a Savior? Very simple question. Why do I need a Savior? What have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? I think I'm a good person. I think I'm a good man. I think I'm a good neighbor. What have I done? Why somebody must die for me, for my sins? Oh, my dear friends, we have to remember that in spite of the sophistication, in spite of the modernism, in spite of the technology, in spite of the great advance we see in our world, we have to remember that we are fallen people, each one of us. And even just the picture, every man, every woman come into this world head down. Why? We are in a fallen world. Fallen people in a fallen world. So why do I need a Savior? I'm going to use few arguments, few reasonings, just for your soul, maybe 5 or 6, to make you to think, oh, my dear friends, what is the purpose of life? If God has to come to you this morning or this week and ask you, why do you live? What do you live for? Deep down in your heart, what is the purpose of life? Where am I going? Am I just like an animal, here today, gone tomorrow? Am I just living for myself? The whole world surrounds me and the whole round goes in circle just for me? Is that the reason why God has brought us into this world? Am I just like a tree? Am I just like a stone? No, God has created us, I believe. We are a million miles superior than animals. Why? Because in you and me, God has implanted something that nobody has in this world. You know, man, when I say man, it's men and women. We have two parts. There is the physical part, which is visible, which is touchable, but there is also the invisible part. Oh, I wish. Even in speaking to you this morning, I wish I can touch that invisible, inward part of you, but no man can touch it. No man can even impact it. The most eloquent preacher cannot touch that part in you except by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is only God who has access to that part in you. The soul. That's the real you. That's the real you. And that soul is dormant. It is inactive. It doesn't operate until there is a miracle. And when that miracle happens, you know what happens in your life? You become a new person with a new heart, with new character, with new vision, with new policy. God, fellowship with God, relationship with God, but also you will be at peace with yourself and you will be at peace with your neighbor. You will be at peace with the world. And when life comes to an end, and remember that life will come to an end, especially when we are young, we think, no, death is for the seniors. It's for the old age. It is so far from us. But you know, the light can be quenched at any time without a warning. Oh, that's why it is so important while I'm still young to find the Lord Jesus Christ, to find fellowship with him, to have my sins forgiven, to have that new heart. and to know, even if life come to an end, it is all well with my soul. So here is my first argument. Why do you need a savior? Why do I need a savior? I read that verse. The first reason I need a savior, all men, every man, each one of us is a sinner. Not long time ago, many times actually in my small life, I speak with some people and they say to me, please don't tell me I'm a sinner. But you see, that is the first reason. From Genesis chapter 3, that is the somber chapter of the Bible, the gloomiest chapter of the Bible. You know what happened there? We don't have to go back to that text. Even those who are not churchgoers, they know that Adam and Eve there in Genesis chapter 3 have sinned against God. They rebelled against God. And because we are all in Adam, from that beginning, right there, from the right beginning at the start, men and women said, we can manage by ourselves. We don't need God. I'm self-opinionated. I'm self-determined. I will do as I want. Who are you to tell me what to do? But God, in his mercy, right from there, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 said, Adam, Adam, you can put your name there. Where art thou? Not because God didn't know where Adam was. God knew perfectly where Adam was. But it is God's way to say, Adam, come to me. Come and repent from your sins. Open your heart to me. Don't you know why I have created you? And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which most preachers will call the first gospel, this is how it has always been called. The first gospel promise there, when it is said that the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come one day to crush the seed of the serpent. You see the two kind of people that are clear before the living God. We classify people in many groups, but for the Bible, there are only two kinds of people. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who follow the seed of the serpent, who said to themselves, I don't need God. I don't need God. I can manage by myself. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the key verse to understand the Bible. And my dear friends, may I, in my small mind again, say this to you. The rest of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 or 16, to the rest of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, is an explanation of Genesis 3, 15. That's the launching. God is launching the plan of redemption. How one day, a savior will come to pay the price which Adam couldn't pay, which bulls and cows and camels and chicken, no blood in this world will ever be able to purchase in order for you and me to have our sins forgiven. So that's why a savior came. And that's the seed of the woman. You know, you read the Bible, there is no such thing as the seed of the woman. It is always the seed of the man. But in a miraculous way, it says the seed of the woman, meaning what? That one day the Savior will come from a woman without the intervention of a man. That's the miracle. The Savior will be born from a virgin. And we know that. When you read Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, you know the passage, you shall give him the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why do you need a savior? Why do I need a savior? Because not just because I want to avoid hell, not just because I want to go to heaven, but the first reason why I need a savior is I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. You read about the moralists. You read about the humanists. You know what they are telling us? There is the brotherhood of all men. But the real brotherhood, this is our real brotherhood. We are all sinners. It is sad. But that's our condition. That's our status. That is our position. The brotherhood of all men. You see what David says here? Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You remember we read in our second scripture reading, Romans chapter 3. I hope you have followed the reading. Four times the nuns there. No, not one. None is perfect. None has understanding. None fellowship with God. But that is us. And Romans 3 verse 23 says, all, without exception, have sinned against God. We corrupted ourselves. We rebelled against God. And we said we have nothing to do with Him. That's our real brotherhood. It is not a matter of color. It is not a matter of nationality. It is not a matter of culture. There is only one race. One race. And that race has corrupted itself by disobeying the living God. My dear friends, sin is what? When I say we are all sinners. Sin is what? The simplest definition, sin is the transgression of the law of God. You read it in 1 John chapter 3. But let me make it even simpler. Sin is missing the mark. Missing which mark? The mark which God has pointed, the mark which God has established, the mark which God has implanted in you and me. Here is the way. Follow this way. But you say, no, I have my own way. I will do it better. Sin is a violation of the justice of God. My dear friends, do you know God is holy? Do you know that God is a loving God? Do you know that God is a compassionate God? Do you know that God is righteous? So He cannot just close His eyes by saying, oh yes, everyone should come into my heaven. No, that wouldn't be a God of justice. So think about it. Sin is the world's worst disease. It is a disease. Why? Because it is worse than illness. You know, with illness, with age, with decay, drowning, electrocution, name it, cancer, you die of anything, it only affects your body. Only the body. But you see, sin is worse because it infects and affects not only the body, but it affects your soul. That's the damage sin is doing to you and me. So it's worse than physical illnesses or sicknesses. Inward and outward, everything is affected. Oh, my dear friends, I want to be the most polite person to you as I speak. But do you know, according to the Bible, if we live in this world without reconciliation, without having our sins forgiven, we are criminals. We are criminals. We have killed ourselves. We have killed God, if that's possible. We have denied ourselves life. It is really a way of murdering, committing suicide, personal suicide, assassination of your own being, if you don't want to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are criminals. You know what the Bible, it's here. If you turn with me just to, you are in Psalm 51, but look at Psalm 58. Psalm 58, I believe that's verse 3. And you will see what it is said about us. Well, I told you the first argument, you need a savior because we are all sinners. Psalm 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. From the womb. This man hasn't done anything. Meaning from the womb, even the child in his mother womb, who is not yet born in this world, his identity before God, he is a sinner. And look at the rest of the verse. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. You don't need to teach your child to lie. You don't need to teach him to do evil. My dear friends, we need a savior Because we are dead in our sins, we are dead in our transgressions, we are doomed, we are deceived, we are disobedient, and we are condemned. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says that we are dead in our sins and transgressions. And there is no way for us to change our nature. That's the worst with us. The Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin. You take bleach, you cannot change your soul. You take soap, you wash it 1,000 times, it won't do anything to your heart. That's why ablutions, water, penance, or penitence, nothing as such will move the heart of anyone or change the heart of anyone. My dear friends, I hope you bear that in mind. You are not only a criminal, but the problem, you cannot change yourself. And you, because of sin, we are under the domination of evil. We are all like blind people. But I wish I could say more there, but I must come to a second argument. Why do I need a savior? The second argument, I need a savior because as a sinner, I'm condemned. Doomed and condemned. That's really my identity again before God. Maybe somebody here is saying, how do you know I'm condemned? The Bible says you don't have to wait for the day of judgment. Some people are saying, even this week, somebody said to me, don't judge. We don't know who will be saved and who will not be saved. Oh, wake up. The Bible says we can know. The Bible says you can know now, while you are still breathing, while you still have the strength of your life, you can still know where you are going to spend eternity. Let me turn to just one or two verses in the Gospel of John. I didn't plan to go into this, but here we are. John chapter 3, classic verse 18. And you can see what it is said about you and me. Are you saved? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 3, verse 18 says this. He that believeth on him is not what? Is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned when? Already? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look at verse 36 of the same chapter. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My dear friend, the wrath of God abideth on you and me if I remain in my unconverted state. Why do I need a Savior? First, I'm a sinner. Second, I need a savior because if I remain in that state, I'm condemned. Already condemned. That's what the Bible says. Already condemned. Hell deserving without Christ, and our sinful condition makes us to be. There is no difference. The most intelligent person among us this morning has no difference between the simplest one among us. All of us stand before God. You know how the Bible calls it? You and me, our first diploma, you don't have to work hard for it. Engineer of evil. That's your first PhD if you are starving after PhD. Engineers of evil. That's all what we know, how to do it well. You know, how can the lion become a vegan? Have you ever met a lion being a vegan? There must be really a miracle, a great transformation in his life. That's the only way. Unless there is a miracle, the lion will remain a lion. Hell deserving. But my dear friends, I know you may think this is bad news, this is all gloomy, but the grace of God puts us on equal footing. At the cross of Calvary, the ground is all level there. The cross of Calvary is the great leveler. Men and women, Jews and Gentiles, young and old, equally equally by the grace of God. Third, I must tell you the third argument I have in mind. First, if I have missed you, you need a savior. I need one. Why? I'm a sinner. Oh, print that in your mind. You are not that little lovely person. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. The second, if I remain in that state as a sinner, I'm condemned by God. But thirdly, the third, I'm without excuse. If I had an excuse, then there is hope for me. I can pretend saying something before God. But you remember, we read Romans chapter 3. It says there that every mouth shall be shut. You wouldn't have anything to say. Oh, yes, I know you. I know myself. I know my heart more than you know my heart. But we are full of excuses. We make so many excuses. But may I say to you, my dear friend, God will not accept any excuse. I don't have time to turn you there, but in Romans chapter 2, verse 3 to 9, it says that nobody will stand before God with an excuse. We are inexcusable, inexcusable. That's our identity before God. So nobody will escape the all-seeing eyes of God. God will never close his eyes upon our sins. How can you escape, or how shall you escape? This is from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? What excuse will you bring before God? We are full of alibis. We know that. We know that perfectly well. But my dear friend, please wake up. Being a sinner puts you in the wrong position. Doomed and condemned before God sends you to hell. And you will never give an excuse to God. Every excuse will fall before God like a castle of sand. Nothing will do. I must come to the fourth one. I don't want to keep you long, but here is the fourth one. Very simple. Sinner, condemned, without excuse, and the fourth one, you and me, God is angry with us. Don't let any preacher tell you that God is always there, happy, happy, and you are just, that's universalism. Everyone will enter into heaven. Remember, God has a problem. We know God has no problem, but it's a way of speaking. God is holy. God is righteous, but on the other hand, God is love and his compassion. That's the problem. How can he reconcile his love and compassion with his holiness and righteousness by just closing his eyes and saying, everyone is forgiven? How can he reconcile that? The only way to reconcile that is that God himself will come into this world to pay the price, to die on the cross of Calvary, and to set us free. Oh, my dear friends, God is angry with you. But the problem, we are also angry with God. When something happens to you, when something happens to you, we tend to blame God instead of blaming ourselves. We blame him. We are at anger with him. Even the events in this world now, people with so many conspiration theories, with so many arguments, are blaming God instead of saying, God has brought these things upon ourselves so that we may look after him, we may seek him and find him. But instead we say, there is no God. If there is God, why is this happening? But this is happening to bring you and me into repentance. I don't have time to explain to you what repentance means. But remember, repentance is acknowledging. It is intellectual. Repentance is emotional. It involves your feelings and emotions, but not only your feelings and emotions. Third, repentance is volitional. Your will is involved. And fourth, repentance is directional. You need to change your direction. You are going to the way of perdition, to the way of destruction. And you hear, God loves me. Why God would love somebody like me? Why? But I heard that. You see, I understand God loves me. I'm a sinner, God loves me. I understand that. That's why I said repentance is acknowledging. There is the intellectual part. The mind must be informed in order to understand. Faith is not a leap in the dark. I understand. And I understand because I understand I act, my feelings, my will, my direction. It's a U-turn. Repentance is a U-turn. God is at anger with you and me. So that's why we need that repentance is so essential. Oh, my dear friends, how would you refuse and reject the only person in this world who can give you happiness? How could you reject the only person who could save your soul? But let me give you the fifth one. I need a savior. Because I will stand one day before God in judgment. Everyone. You know, you wouldn't have to come. God will bring you. God himself, he will bring you in. And you will stand before God because we have failed at every one of his commandments. You know, you break one commandment of God, you have broken all of them. All of them. Sin by omission, sin by commission, we sin by purpose, we sin by practice, we sin by choice. Oh, there are 1,001 reasons for God to condemn us when we stand before him. So each one of us will stand before God in judgment. And people say, we are free. May I, especially the young ones, if I can speak to you. People say, we are free. Nobody's free. You are only free to sin. That's the freedom you have. But once somebody finds the Lord Jesus Christ, that is in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son of God sets you free, free you are indeed. That's when freedom starts. But before believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all slaves. We are in chains. And we will do only according to our master. We will do only according to our nature. What do you expect a lion to do? He will always remain a carnivore. But the miracle of the new birth makes you to be a new person. Then you become free to do the will of God, to obey his commandments. But I close by the sixth one. Why do I need a savior? The Son of God, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. The one who is sinless, spotless, blameless, came from heaven to earth. God himself. You see, religions are giving us something. But the religion of the Bible is giving us somebody, a person. Christ himself came into this world and he paid the unpayable price for you and me to be reconciled with God. He is the only one who could do for our sins. Sin is so vicious that only one sacrifice could atone for it. The sinless dying for us if you trust in him. Believe in him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is faith, you will ask me? Faith is the hand. Faith is the eye. Faith is the foot. Faith is the ear that receives. Do you have to do anything? No, I don't have to do anything. I repent from my sins. I swallow my pride. I come to the Savior. Oh, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Come to him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? I hope so. No, that is not good. If you hope so, it is not good. Are you saved? Yes, I am saved because I have trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, let me close. Why do I need a Savior? First, I am a sinner. Second, I'm condemned. Third, I'm without excuse. Fourth, God is angry at me. The fifth, I shall stand before God one day in judgment. But the good news is God himself came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for my sins if I repent and trust in him. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee. O Lord, we thank thee that thou art still saving souls, that thou art the same. And we pray, Lord, for a token of thy blessing upon a sinner this morning, that even today or in the days to come, we will hear about a trophy of grace. One soul, priceless soul, has found the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us together in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.